Okay, yay! Welcome to Call 56, everybody. Maura, there's only one of you.
That's exciting.
One beautiful Maura face. Yay, cool. All right. Awesome. We might have a couple ladies joining us a little bit late, but that's cool. We'll get going. Welcome to call number 56, ladies. I'm really excited about this one. And we can all thank Deborah, our newest sister, for the theme tonight. She's actually the one who suggested play. And I was like, well, yeah, that's a great idea. So thank you, Deborah. So tonight's call will be kind of like previous calls. And I'll just walk you guys over, or give you the outline of what we're going to be doing this evening. We're going to be playing, so you can get excited about that. So we'll start with an intro round like we always do. We'll do name. Ooh, let me grab my, I made a workbook. I'll send it out after the call. So you ladies have it because there's a ton of references and stuff in there, resources. So intro round, we're doing name, location, a memory or a gratitude for like a recent experience of play or just something that comes to mind around your like playfulness, gratitude or memory. And then the fourth one, and I'll put these in the chat, the fourth one is where are you at right now on a scale from one to play? So we'll do intro round, we'll do those four topics, and then we're going to dive into some activities, some learning, and some play tonight. Yay. Cool. Can everyone hear me okay? Signal's doing okay? Yeah, awesome. Cool. Does this make sense, intro round so far, tracking? Cool. All right. And then we'll do some shares in a little bit here. I'll guide everything as usual. It's going to be less informational than usual and much more collaborative and playful and interactive. So we'll go ahead and kick off with intros and I'll start the round. I'm Fawn and I'm in Yalapa. And a recent memory of play. I love playing with my dog, Silvio. I love playing with Silves. He's like, I was really concerned when we were taking him to get fixed, like almost a year ago. I was really concerned. I'm like, I really hope he doesn't like lose his playfulness. You know, sometimes they can grow up and not be so playful, but he's like the best player and we got him fixed and he's been like as playful, if not more ever since. And he like wakes us up with his toys and he always makes me throw toys when I'm trying to work. And it reminds me to take a breath and take a beat and play. So he's kind of like my play muse, if you will. He's so adorbs. And I, on a scale from one to play, ooh, okay. So my, if 10 is play, my version of play is super playful. So I'd say I'm kind of at a like 4. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. Okay, I think I'm a 4 or 5 right now on my play scale. Cool. And as for those of you who are unfamiliar with my costume obsession, I have a costume obsession. I've been collecting costumes for 18 years now, and wigs are a part of that for me. So given that tonight's topic is play, I'm like, I get to wear my wig. So, and I have a lot of my other wigs behind me just in case we need them for some reason. So awesome. All right. I will hand the mic over to Amy. Welcome, Ames.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
My name's Amy. I am from Norristown, Pennsylvania, close to Philly. I guess a most recent memory, I was going to actually say my dog, too, but I won't bite off of Fawn. So, but the problem is I have 3 teenagers, so none of them want to play with me anymore. So my dog is like my biggest playmate. But I was actually just in Montana for a week's vacation with my family, and it was just me and my 3 kids, and my mom and my brother. So we got to do a lot of playing there. We did zip lining, we did whitewater rafting, we played Uno. So it was just a really great week with my kids, and it was fun. Where am I on a scale from one to play? I don't know. I'm in a really, really good mood. I'm in a really good place right now, so I'm pretty happy. So I think that makes me a little bit more playish. So I'll say probably like an 8.
Awesome. Love that. Woo-hoo.
If I had younger kids, I'd be playing all the time. So Jasmine, feel free to send your kids over.
Right, because you guys are right down the...
Well, we're not that close.
Awesome. Yay. And I'm gonna give a little celebration bump for you, Ames. Amy's had some recent breakthroughs after maybe 7 months or so. We started working together in November. She's had some recent breakthroughs around her business, and we had a great session today about that. So let's all give Amy some love.
It was awesome.
Yes. Yay. Thanks, Amy. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jasmine, and I'm in Layton, New Jersey. It's like a northwestern part of the state. The easy one for me to say is the kids, because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they just literally want to play and imagine and do nothing other than that all the time, every day. I really find myself enjoying physical play, like in sports, more than like having to be creative with them. So the first thing that actually came to mind was, like, I literally just played tennis with my brother, and I just, like, on a scale of 1 to loving something, it's like, I'm just love it. It's so much fun. And I feel like I'm just playing, and like, yeah, it's just top of the list. So my kids, and I'm going to say tennis. I think it's because it doesn't come as natural with my kids. When I'm like, need to like be imaginative, and I'm like, thinking of how to be like Captain Hook when she's like Tinkerbell, and like, who's Peter Pan, and like, there's not enough structure and nobody has rules, and like, I don't really know how to make the game. And it's like, some people I think could just do that. And it's harder for me. And then from one to play, where am I? I don't think I'm mixed. I think when I definitely carve out time for myself to do the things I enjoy. So when I'm doing them, I'm all the way at play. I'm very good at, like, when I commit to something, I have no FOMO of anything else. Like, that's just, I'm in it. And then in normal, like, in the middle stuff, like day-to-day stuff, Vaughn, there you go, that's the podcast you sent me. I am probably at, like, a 4 or 3. So it depends on if I'm in something that I've deemed as play.
Ooh, interesting distinction. Okay, let's bookmark that for later in the call. I like that. Yeah. Thanks, Jazz. And yeah, kiddos, right? Kiddos, just being around them, it's just osmosis, playfulness, and yeah, silliness. Yeah, cool. Hi, Miss Mara. Welcome.
Hello, my darling. Congratulations.
Oh,
congratulations
to you
for playing in your costumes for real, for your real job. It's very exciting.
Thank you. Maura's, I haven't posted that in the LFT group yet. I'm going to post it tomorrow, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember where I read them.
No, it's okay.
Nothing happened. Don't everybody think that Fawn's fantastic? She didn't do anything great this week. Nothing. I'm Maura. I'm the knucklehead in Milford, Connecticut. I'm like ridiculous because I forgot. Gratitude about play. I can't see my chat because I sent a chat to Amy. And I'm really having issues with Zoom tonight because I'm on the Zoom in on the web and not the app, and it's sort of a mess. So I might jump in and out, so please nobody take offense. Plus, I still have to feed my child, and I think I'm burning something. So anyway, all that being said, memory and gratitude of a play experience. Oh, my God. Well, I used to do plays for a living. I was a theatrical lighting designer. Before that, I was an actress. And before that, you know, I was a little kid. So I've been playing for my whole life, telling stories and making up stuff and all the rest of it. So I have a million memories and gratitude for play. So spinning the word play to a play, telling a story. Sadly, where am I on a scale from 1 to play now? Far removed. Haven't done theater or any of that for a long time, which is fine because that's not my path right now. And as far as play, I was super motivated actually by Jasmine in the Marco Polo group talking about getting to play soccer. And I was like, oh, how fun would it be to play a team sport again? Not that I was ever good or anything, but like I think about kickball. Like it would be fun to play kickball with a bunch of you know, grown-ups. So for me, on a scale of one to play, I think I'm on the low end currently, but I'm certainly thinking about it with all the current working out and playing sports and my whole life of play.
Beautiful. Thank you, Laura.
Actually, please. You're welcome. And I'm going to make sure I'm not burning something, so please no one be offended.
Awesome. Yay. All right. Welcome, Sylvia.
I'll unmute myself. Hello, everyone. I'm Sylvia, and I'm currently in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's see. Play. So I say, so every night, my husband and I still try to, like, do a couple songs and dance every night. So we're doing that. So that's probably my biggest play factor right now. I don't know, play is kind of hard for me. Like, I feel, like, happy and positive overall, but I don't really think I'm, like, a super playful person, but I you know, I like hanging out with friends or whatever, and I've been doing a little bit of that recently, in social distance, of course, and trying to, you know, tell myself, you know, to still hang out even and not just study all the time, even though it is a really intense semester. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm probably maybe on the scale, maybe like a 3 or 4. I don't know. I just don't know the difference sometimes between positivity and actually playing. I don't know. But sports was a good one, you know. So
yeah, that's a really great point. Thanks for speaking to that. I'm just going to make a note. We'll circle back to that later. Cool. I love that you and your husband dance at night. That's really so sweet and
really fun,
motivating. Rangel's always trying to get me to dance salsa with him. He's like, he'll be in the kitchen. Fun. He's like, come on, babe. And I'm like, like,
I'm not ours isn't way. Like freestyle. Ours is a little bit more like ballroom. But I'd like to get to a freestyle. That would be cool.
Awesome.
Dance. I do. Oh yeah, that reminds me. I do sometimes dance in the room by myself, you know, if I need, you know, to like a little pick me up and I'm like, I need some energy.
There you go. So, awesome. Yeah, that totally counts for sure. Who else dances by themselves and cranks the music sometimes? Yeah. Yay. Or in the car. Yep. Sweet. Hi, Emily. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. How are you guys?
Hi.
So good to see you all.
I'm
well. I'm in Berkeley. I'm Emily, and I'm in Berkeley, California. And the thing that came to mind in terms of gratitude for memory for me was actually the first thing that came to mind was spending time with my brothers and sisters in the mountains of Colorado a couple years ago, because we found this, we like had rented this cabin, we found this dress up bin that had all these costumes in it, like literally like every costume you could think of, like every kid costume you could ever want, like pirates, everything, cowboy hats, like all kinds of stuff. And I remember this so vividly because at the time I was like helping my friends launch their business and I was like so stressed out, like so like taxed out, and I like couldn't get into the like playfulness of the weekend. And then like finally like I finished everything that I had to do and we dressed up and we like played board games for like 72 hours straight. As a family, like nobody left. We just stayed up and played board games in our costumes. And like, it was so much fun. And I really connect to like those moments of like playfulness. Like a lot of my friends and like a lot of my family really connect on like the moments of playfulness. And so I really enjoy that. It's like really a space to like express and be free and just like let loose. And I don't know, I really enjoy that. And I would say, like, that type of space has been, like, less frequent for me, for sure, like, since COVID, because I'm, like, a very interactive person, you know. but it still comes to me like in everyday interactions, like through playing with my dog and like playing with my husband and his brother who like live with us, and you know, just cooking in the kitchen and turning on the music and like mixing music together, you know, like that really always just like brings that back, that spirit back in. And so, yeah, it's really something I connect with, like, strongly. I have to make time for it or else I'm just like, yeah. But as Jasmine said, like, yeah, it doesn't, you know, like, it's, like, on the weekends kind of, like, that we reserve time for that for on the weekends, you know. It's not, like, an every night thing for us of, like, having, like, dedicated, like, hours of play, you know. That's my relationship to play. So,
yeah. Thank you. Yeah, love that. I love the music and the dance and the movement. You're like, you're such a movement oriented person. It makes a lot of sense that there's a connection with play there for you. That's great. Oh, congrats on hosting your yoga in the park in Berkeley.
Oh, thank you. So building a community out, just, you know, really trying to like give my skill off to more people and like allow it to grow and build community out here. So yeah, just putting an offering out there. Any donations we get will be donated to the Loveland Foundation. So that's like really something our business, as we've like been launching, we've been trying to find these avenues of like supporting other businesses as well. So
that's so awesome. Yay. Yeah. So proud of you. Awesome. And Deborah, our newest sister, welcome to the call. Everybody give Deborah a big virtual hug. Yay! Thanks for inspiring this playful call, Deborah.
Can you guys hear me okay?
It's a little quiet, but I'll just turn up my volume.
Oh, okay. I'll try to talk louder. So I'm Deborah, and thanks for letting me stalk you guys at the last meeting. I was just like, I don't know the community, and I just wanted to listen. So I appreciate you guys being open to that. I live in the Bay Area also, Emily, and it's been kind of weird because we, you know, like even yesterday and today, they were like, don't go outside because of the smoke. And it's kind of putting a damper on things, but what I'm grateful for right now is right before the fires, I was able to go to the beach, and it was so spontaneous. And I drove down past Santa Cruz, and I, like, walked on the beach for a while, and then I had lunch. I stopped at a little place off the Pacific Ocean and had lunch, and it was beautiful. And then the very next day, the fire started. So I'm grateful that I had that time. And in terms of play, I feel like my normal nature is to create laughter and joy around me. But because of COVID, and I live alone, and it's just been so weird now. Like, I'm so cool with not being around people because I'm an introvert. But I kind of miss the laughter that I normally generate when I'm with people. And so I feel like maybe my play level, well, maybe like a 3 or 4. Like, I have learned to, when I, like, I'm watching a movie or I hear a song and it makes me want to dance, I'll get up and dance by myself. But other than that, I feel like I don't really have the level of play that I want in my life. I want that joy every day, no matter what. And that's what I want to work on.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into all kinds of different ideas and explorations around how to draw that out more. So sounds like good timing. And of course, it was on your suggestion. And I really felt into that. I'm like, yeah, we've been in lockdown for about almost 6 months now. Play is probably the perfect theme for the LFP call. It's a good call, Deborah. Yeah, and congrats to you for going to the beach. She went to the beach earlier this week. It was one of her action items that I was like, she's like, I don't know why I never go. And I was like, how about it's an action item? And she totally did it and sent me photos. And I'm so happy that you got to do that. Yeah, because now, unfortunately, California is on fire. Santa Cruz is being evacuated. Like, my family is there. And so I've been dealing with family, helping people coordinate evacuation plans and stuff today. It's like bananas. But anyhow, so glad you got to the beach before all that went down. Okay, I think I got to everybody. Awesome. So, ladies, we're going to do some sharing around our experience of play and just kind of tune in with ourselves and each other around some questions. I'm going to give you some questions, some prompts, and then you can just raise your hand and answer the questions. Or I might actually point people out if there's some hesitation to answer. So we'll do this activity and then we'll roll into just a little bit of informational content, but I'm keeping it super laser, linking the resources in the workbook for you so you can go ahead and read more about them on your own, because I really wanted to utilize as much time as possible actually playing on this call. So, okay, let me pull up my questions here. All right. So I'll start with, first question is, what does play mean to you? What does play mean to you? And feel free to just like popcorn your hands up. Emily, awesome.
Play means to me living in the possibility of each moment and allowing your creative, natural, intuitive self to respond the way that feels most exciting to you. So that, and then I guess in order for it to be really play for me, that has to be an interactive experience with another person. I need to have that type of like connection. So yeah, that's, well, I can feel playful with myself too. Like, you know, like that does, but it's not as playful with myself, you know, it's just not for me. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That was, I just made a note to myself to transcribe your explanation. That was really beautiful and eloquent. And Jazz, you had your hand up too, yeah?
Yeah, she did a really nice job. I totally resonate with what she said. I definitely think it's very in the moment for me, and it's my ability to feel like loose and in the flow of the moment and to be able to see things for like all the play that they have in them, whether it's like mopping or, you know, making my calendar or actually playing tennis or playing with my kids. Like when everyone was talking before, I think there's like literally play in every moment, you know, making my bed could be fun and silly or yeah, letting that guard down.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I'm going to circle back probably in about 30 minutes and have you share a little bit more about what that guard is. So I'm making a little note to myself. Thanks, Jazz. Amy, did you want to share what play means to you? Cool.
Okay, so to me, play means just like, for me, it's like action, meaning like just movement. It's also, for me, like play means laughter and smiling and happiness. And just like when I gave play, like my play scale was like an 8. And I guess that was more, and that maybe that's where I need like to know the difference between like just being happy and like pumped up versus like play. I don't know if they're maybe the same thing or maybe they are for me. Like I'm just excited and, you know, and I can definitely be playful, like Emily said, you know, by myself as well. Mm-hmm. And I think there's different types of play. So there's obviously like playing in sports, which I love to do. I don't get to do as much anymore, but there's playing in sports, which again is just like action and movement and a little bit of fun competitiveness. I think that can be fun too. Not taking it super seriously, but me as a person, I don't take much too seriously. So yeah, so for me, play is just, it can be more of a quiet play, playing a game with my kid, you know, even though we're not like cracking up or like, you know, going crazy, we're still having fun together. And it's just, it's a little bit out of the ordinary. It's not just a mundane thing that happens all the time. So it's special.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ames. Yeah. And this question surfaced again around like, the difference between play and like just feeling really jovial or happy or buoyant or like bubbly, energized. What's the difference there? We're going to get to that too. Thank you. Okay. Next question, ladies. What are you, oh yeah, this is a good one. What are you like when you're really playful, when you're like your playful self and you're like, woo? I guess I'm making an assumption that that's what you're like. That's what I'm like. What are you like when you are your playful self? Jazz.
I was just going to say me too.
Oh.
I'm like, woo!
Woo! Yeah.
Loud, center of attention, laughing, cracking jokes, all sorts of fired up, you know. Yeah, just like happy.
Nice.
Full energy.
Full energy, yeah. Who else? Yeah, Deborah.
So for me, like I think of play and in this context as looking for the joy, like looking for that opportunity, that moment in your day where you can grab it and make something bigger of it. And so even though like it can be special, but I feel like it can happen every day. It's like if you look for it, you'll find it, right? And so I want to learn to, in any given day, to be able to find those moments and capitalize on them. And so for me, it does look like, oh my God, that's my favorite song, and I get up and start dancing, or I'm in the car and I'm driving, and it's like, you know. So, like, I just want to grab those moments, and I know they're there every day, and so I want to learn to see them.
Love that. Ooh. You know? What was that? Say the last part?
It will be animated, you know. It will be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. Let's see what else I have here. How do you feel when you're playful? So emotions, sensations, feelings. How do you feel when you're playful, when you're like in play? Anybody? Did I freeze? What? Thank you, Emily.
I feel like lighthearted and free, and I feel accepted and open and I don't know, I feel curious. I feel like, you know, and like I feel my like natural leaderness come out, you know, because that's like part of like who I am, you know, and I like the adventure of the moment, you know, like when I'm in that interactive space, of playfulness, or, and this is like, you know, like when I'm interacting with my environment too, like today I'm trying to print stuff and it's going wrong and I'm like, okay, like what's next? You know, so like, you know, you have to kind of like have that spirit, or I feel like I have that spirit with it. But yeah, it's in reflection sometimes, you know, too. So yeah.
Great. Thanks for that. Oh, I have such an appreciation. I'm really trying to catch those moments as well. Like those days were just like, I spill the coffee, I trip over the thing, like something falls and breaks or whatever. And just instead of like feeling triggered by that, which I don't typically, but I'm trying to like have fun with it and be like, okay, yeah, what else? What's going to happen today? I'm ready. Let's go. Nice. All right. Anyone else like to share how you feel when you are playful in that moment of play?
I can share a little bit. I think for me, like maybe feeling like carefree, like no worries, like kind of forget about any worries or pressures in the moment. And so I feel like that goes right along with kind of being present in the moment. And so when I feel really playful, it's, you know, everything kind of, everything else, every other distraction kind of leaves and I'm in the moment. So.
Ooh, thank you for speaking to that. Yeah, there is a very engaged in the moment quality to play. Uh-huh. Thank you, Sylvia. Because we talk about like being in the moment and being mindful all the time in this group, right? So play is an access point to the present moment. That's a fun thing. Beautiful. Okay, so in contrast, And I invite you to be as honest as possible with this one. In what ways do you take yourself way too seriously in your life? What ways do you take yourself way too seriously? Jasmine, thank you.
My rules, my structure, my calendar, my lists, my expectations, my rules. Did I say that? My rules. Did I say that? Okay. My schedule, my structure. Did I say that? Okay. Yeah. Just the expectation of like the shoulds and my outline of that expectation always takes me away from the play. It's more difficult to see the like openness of the moment when I'm like, but I'm being really productive and X, Y, or Z is happening. And then, you know, then there's also ABC and like, let me just keep going because it like feels good to keep going. But then like you lose that, but it could also feel good just like right now. And like not when I get done with it. And that's my perfectionism a little bit. And my like wanting to please and, you know, daddy issues. I'm working through it. Really though, it all comes back to the same thing.
So awesome and courageous and amazing for sharing that. Thank you. That's some deep stuff. That's how we play here in LFT. We talk about our deep stuff. True story. Okay, who else? Ways in which you take yourself way too seriously, or you take life way too seriously. Amy?
I guess most recently it was just around, especially when it comes to this group, that whole issue with just finding clarity. Like I was just getting pissed off and annoyed and nothing was working and it was frustrating. And, you know, at points, you know, at certain times I just felt like giving up and just, you know, I kept even saying to you, maybe I'm just not meant to be an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm still getting a lot out of this group. I still love it. And I'm still learning a lot of things. And maybe I should just, you know, be okay with that. But something, you know, kept nagging at me. And I just, it was frustrating at times. Like I didn't know how to relax and let go and just let things come to me naturally. I was just so filled with, you know, things in my head, thoughts in my head around, I got to find clarity. I got to find clarity. I got to find my purpose. I got to find my calling. What am I supposed to do? So it was super, super, super frustrating. Other than that, I think, you know, I tend to go the other way where I am almost way too, like, not serious about things. You know, not super structured, not super organized. At least that's how I sometimes see myself. So I think I actually need to become better at that, especially if I want to own a business. So I know that. So yeah, I'm very, very laid back. And I think sometimes to a fault. So.
Except when, you know. What?
Raising teenagers sometimes stresses me out beyond belief. Right this minute, actually.
Bless your soul, Amy. Oh my gosh.
So,
who can, Deborah, sorry. I don't know if you were able to see us on the last call, Deborah, when somebody says something that we resonate with or we're like, oh my gosh, me too, we do these little wiggly fingers. And sometimes if we really agree, we'll be like, who can relate with what Amy was just sharing about taking the whole, like finding my purpose and finding my clarity, the whole journey, just like putting that in a pressure cooker. Yeah. Thank you for offering that up, Amy. Yeah. Okay, anyone else like to share how ways in which you take yourself or life seriously, maybe way too seriously?
I was just going to say, on top of Amy's thing about raising kids, it's not, and I'm sure, I think because we have children the same age, it's projecting our own seriousness and for me, but tagging on to what Amy just said, it's projecting my own whatever I think is so important. It's so important that you get up and get ready in the morning and get your shit together. And it's me who's been late every day this week but one. You know what I mean? Like, it's me who doesn't make a lunch for work and just spends money. And I'm like, did you make your lunch for camp? Did you get your shit together? You know, and he's 12. So, but, you know, he'll be nice and stressed. But, so I'm fine. I'm super playful. I'm good. It's all coming out on Michael. So it's the taking yourself so seriously because you have to, you know, give an example to the person that you're raising, you know, big responsibility. So that's why we nag, right, Aim?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that, Maura. Yeah. That's a really vulnerable and humble thing to say and to share. I mean, to admit to ourselves, let alone to the people around us, that we, when we're taking ourselves really seriously, we do tend to project it onto other people, and we can, like, it just oozes out of us. And yeah, so I appreciate your share with that. Okay, so thank you for sharing, ladies. I really appreciate that, and I love hearing your experiences of play and what it feels like, and just your way of being and how you relate with play, and then in contrast, what it's like when you're taking yourself seriously. There's a big difference, right? There's a very visceral qualitative difference between the two ways of being. Not that either one is right or wrong, but we sure know when we're not being playful or we're not in play mode, and when we are. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward with the call here, just knowing that we know we have an inner wisdom that knows how to play and also knows what play feels like. I think sometimes, even if there's like some confusion around the, like, you know, happiness and play or what that is, I think regardless, we all have an innate playfulness, right? As we kind of arrive here on the planet, and our nature is to play as children. Like, that is our way of being. We're curious. We don't have an aim. We don't have an agenda. You know, we don't have like a checklist or like a tally list of things to do. We're just checking stuff out. Like, what's this? Oh, okay. Let's catch a frog. Let's, you know, let's put on dresses and wear hiking boots and go stomp in the mud and do all kinds of fun stuff like that. So I just want to remind all of us that play is one of the core foundational aspects of being human. It's one of the few things that's actually not programmed into us. It's one of the innate natural ways of being that we can access and we always have within us. And I know I say this a lot, so I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but play really gets conditioned out of us in a lot of ways as we grow up, right? I was just watching, I watched Neverending Story last night with Rangel, because Jessica had posted a Neverending Story thing in one of the feeds. And so we watched that movie, and at the very first scene of that movie, the kid is like telling his dad that he had this dream and he likes to draw unicorns, and the dad just like shuts him down. He's like, we need to, you know, be centered and keep our feet on the ground and let go of those. I can't remember what he said, but I was like, oh my God, that's what happens. Like, that's what we all go through from somebody to some extent. And unfortunately, a lot of times, especially as we go from like adolescence into like our teenagers and then our teenagers into adulthood, it's just kind of programmed out of us, or, you know, poo-pooed, or we get made fun of if we're being playful and imaginative and, you know, fantastic, and we're like living in fantasy land, running around with like sticks as swords, and we get made fun of. Like, it's a little micro trauma, and we shut that part of us down and we don't really let it out. And then not to mention, I'm not speaking to anything specifically, but there's a lot of messaging in culture, family, religion, society, you know, demographic, all kinds of things that have an influence on our relationship with our innate way of being. And it's something that I'm very passionate about, obviously. Very passionate about. Because when I was, 20, I was 19 or 20, and I was lucky, fortunate enough to enter into a community of people like the music and arts scene in the San Francisco Bay Area at that age, and start going to events and festivals and raves and things like that. And I went because I felt like I finally had found my weirdos, like people who would just wear whatever and like dance. And I remember walking into a room and being like, oh my gosh, this is okay. Like, yes, like this is okay. People play. This is awesome. So that's kind of when my permission piece for myself was like there to be able to be playful and be natural. And I attribute that actually to, I'm so thankful, and I attribute that to how very not seriously I take things as an adult. Like, yes, I pay attention to what I need to get done, and obviously I, you know, I make things happen, but it is very, very rare that I'm like taking things seriously. I don't personally find a lot of use in it. But anyhow, so tonight I would love to share a little bit around play and why it's so important and the science behind it, just a little bit, and then give you ladies some links to follow up on if you're curious. And then we're going to do a couple of activities together as a group. So, oh yeah, and what Maura had spoken to earlier. So for a few years, I've been developing this modality that I'm calling costume coaching. And I'll talk more about it on my lives tomorrow, but that's one of the ways in which I'm wanting to bring play into the adult coaching landscape and help people to like have more fun and play more and express themselves and do so in a container that's really safe and like through costume. So I just this week led a workshop for the Hollywood Costume Designers Guild, and it was my first time presenting like costume coaching, and it was too this guild, and it was really, really cool. So bring and play back, making it cool again. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it was super, super cool. Thanks.
That's incredible fun. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it was super synchronistic. Like, I was like, what? What is going on? This is great. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll share more tomorrow too, because it is pretty exciting. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen here with you ladies and just share a couple of info bits around play, because there's some curiosity around like what is the difference between play and you know, happiness or bubbliness, etc. So play, so I went through like a bunch of different definitions and dove into a bunch of different websites. It's been a minute since I tuned into like current research. When I was first developing LSP maybe 3 years ago, I did a lot of research around positive psychology and play, but it had been a minute. So it's fun to see what's happening in the land of play research. And turns out, finally, science is substantiating that play is hugely beneficial and hugely beneficial on the one hand when we have play in our adult lives, and then hugely detrimental when we don't. And this crosses, you know, relationships at the workplace, creativity, innovation, self-esteem, sense of self, all of these things. It turns out the more play, the higher the correlation between just higher indices of health around these areas. So to break it down, it's enjoyment and recreation rather than serious or practical purpose or activity for enjoyment or recreation. So speaking to kind of not taking it seriously, right? Because a serious or practical purpose, those are pretty heavily loaded words, but that qualitative difference between I'm doing this because it's fun, because I enjoy it, versus I'm doing something because I have to or need to. Amusement has no other objective than amusement. So that kind of teases it apart from maybe something that we enjoy doing, but has some kind of an objective. I don't know if I necessarily wholeheartedly agree with this, because a lot of what I do, I feel very playful in, but I don't know. And it has an objective, but who knows? And here's a quote. So the primary researcher in the space for the past 5-10 years is Stuart Brown. And he's written a couple of great books about play. I think his most recent is this one, The Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul. And he kind of broke this open, and it was a big deal, at least in the psychology community, when he started talking about this and I started reading interviews and stuff with him, because it just wasn't in the conversation before. And So now there's the National Institute of Play, which he is very closely associated with. And I really love this one. So it's the gateway to vitality. It's kind of like what Emily was saying earlier around like our true nature, our natural whimsical, carefree nature, uniquely, intrinsically rewarding. So like play, we play because it's fun in and of itself. We don't play to like, okay, I played, you know, it's kind of like dancing, right? We don't dance to arrive at a certain place on the dance floor. We dance for the sake of the enjoyment of dancing, hopefully. Generates optimism, novelty. Who was that that spoke to? Oh, Sylvia, I think, who spoke to like the in the moment presence nature of play. So that novelty comes kind of in the improvisational quality of play. Makes perseverance fun, right? Because we're in the middle of like a play, I don't know, a game or something like that. It's not like, oh man, I have to finish the game. Hopefully it's probably something that we're looking forward to. So it kind of builds those perseverance muscles. Leads to mastery. And I love that one too, because we can utilize play as a container or as a vehicle for improving our skill set or improving our acumen around something. So like instruments, sports, etc. Although that does kind of counter this definition, I tend to agree with this more just personally, that we can certainly use play to improve our anything. Fosters empathy, right? It's social. Play is so social. It is so conducive to, oh my goodness, to relationships, relationship skills, especially like team play. So being able to work out disagreements, being able to collaborate, cooperate, I think it helps us manage ego really well when we're playing on teams or we're playing where we depend on other people and they depend on us. Like there's no I in team, right? That whole thing. So that's good. And then a sense of belonging and community. So these two are obviously really important as well. I was listening to a TED talk earlier about play, and the woman was citing a study of adults who have a tendency to be playful as their way of being, and then adults who do not, and longitudinal studies, just noticing the trend that, and this breaks my heart if I'm being honest, like that when kiddos are shut down from play or when they're made fun of or they're punished or there's a very strict environment and it's like really programmed out of them at an early age, that as adults that it's they don't show up very playfully, and it does take a bit of like active coercion to bring that out. So I think it's kind of a form of micro trauma that happens along the way. But at any rate, so there is a correlation between our relationship with play when we're younger and how we show up as adults as well. So I think the high level thing here that stands out to me and that I encourage you all to realize is that this is something that is part of us if we let it be part of us, right? And it's not so much about doing something or like playing. It might even be more so about like removing the blocks to play, removing whatever it is that gets between us and playing. So those rules, those rigid, you know, have to's, shoulds, checklists, things like that. Everything has its place, right? And there's a healthy way to be more organized and self-manage. But I think there can be, based on what we're going over here, there can be a place for play that doesn't compromise productivity, that doesn't compromise our ability to get things done or to, you know, make progress on things. So just know that you have this secret thing all the time, secret magic power everywhere you go to play and to gamify things. And we'll get to that in a second too. Here's a cool infographic here. These are just some of the benefits of play in adulthood. I linked a couple of articles at the bottom of this resource that you can dive into that like really unpack the research and talk about how many things this affects and how. But yeah, these are all the benefits. And when we look at the benefits of play, like, and we weigh out like, okay, the benefits of taking life seriously and like being really rigid with ourselves, hard on ourselves, like, you know, putting ourselves in a container, for the sake of whatever XYZ versus the benefits like listed here and in the rest of the research, play blows anything out of the water. It's like, it really does. So I, again, it's another vote for integrating more play in your lives. Barriers to play. Yeah, Amy.
I just wanted to speak real quick on one of those items you just had up. Mm-hmm. It said prevents burnout at work. So I work for a finance company, huge finance company, but we're all kind of stuck at home. And they just started this thing called Middle Office Olympics. So it's kind of like, if you know the show The Office, it just kind of reminds me of that. And then we did do a game today, which was so, because some people are like into it and some people just are not. They're just like, this is ridiculous, I'm not doing this. But a lot of people joined in today and it was so fun. So it was like a virtual scavenger hunt. And people are like running around with their laptops in their hand at their house, like finding all these. It was hilarious. So that's it definitely so cool. Like released some stress and we got movement. So it was great. So it was play and movement combined, which was awesome.
Thank you for sharing that. That is awesome. Ooh, I want to do that in LFP. Yeah, Jeff.
I love that. On the other side of it, the thing you mentioned about the youth, I see it in the eighth. The youngest I have is eighth graders. Mm-hmm. You can have them for 5 minutes, and you know the kids whose parents sucked it out of them. And the only time they can play is maybe in gym if they have the confidence and they don't like see the beauty in subjects or the beauty in like play opportunities or, you know, even in the lunchroom, like how they sit and how they talk. And you can just see it. They weren't raised in like a playful environment. It's black and white, clear as day. Yeah. So it's what you just said is very true, and it's something to be so mindful of. And I think that even if you're not a parent, you can inject play into the people around you as if you're a parent. We're parenting each other always. That's what it made me think of.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
Uh-huh. That's a hard one for me, honestly. That's one of the things, animals and children, and like, yeah. And, you know, and like you said, it does follow, you can tell right away, and that carries through usually to adulthood. And not to go off on a huge tangent around this, but I have a pet theory that this is the reason why alcohol is such a big deal to adults, is it is like an access point to that carefree kind of, it's like a substitute feeling for play, or allows play in this like authorized capacity. Like it's okay, you're tipsy, you're drunk or buzzed, which is great, fun, have a good time. But it just breaks my heart that that's like the only way that some people can have that experience of looseness and play. But anyhow, I won't go on a thing about that. Okay, so barriers to play. Let's talk about this. We'll just do hands up popcorn style here. What gets in the way of you and play? We kind of touched on this earlier, taking yourself seriously, but is there anything specific that you know gets in the way between you and play? Maura, yeah, thanks.
Sorry. It's totally tagged on to what you just said, which you said you don't want to go on a tangent, but about alcohol. So earlier I wrote emotions when you feel playful, being in the moment, uninhibited, confidence, don't give a shit. Exact same things as when you're wasted, you know. Well, I mean, I don't get wasted anymore, but if you're out and partying, being in the moment, uninhibited, confidence, don't give a shit. So what gets in the way of you and play is the fear of all those things, the fear of judgment, the fear of somebody's not going to think I'm smart enough or good enough or whatever. So it's a funny, super related. I mean, it's definitely related to the alcohol thing as adults. And I think it's related to kids who are crushed down because they got picked last for the team. So they weren't very good. They got picked, you know what I mean? So it's easy to really squash that urge if if you're no good at it. When play to a child is a game, is, you know, constructed activity. So I think what gets in the way of you in play is your own ego, your own fear of judgment.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah, I think so.
Thank you, Maura. Thank you. Yeah. Oh man, that was like perfect timing. The uninhibited. Yeah. Thank you. Sylvia, did you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was going to say something. I think what gets in the way for me is like this idea growing up around like playing is irresponsible. You know, it's like this constructed, I don't know, thing, you know, that I'm taught. And so I feel like that kind of inhibits me sometimes with that story. So I'm kind of breaking that down and saying like play doesn't mean I'm irresponsible. Actually, I think that responsible people can be playful and happy, obviously. And, you know, just some other, you know, like growing up, maybe seeing someone else who was very like extremely playful, but didn't, you know, wasn't responsible actually. And so it kind of confirmed those, you know, thoughts and judgments, I guess, of like, you know, people who play all the time actually are irresponsible and don't get anything done, like seeing that opposite side. But, you know, obviously there's like a middle ground. But yeah, that's kind of a story of mine that I'm working through.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Who can relate with a part of that, like the correlate, like play is irresponsible. There's something that feels irresponsible about it. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I might go off the deep end. Yeah, thank you, Sylvia, and good for you for reworking that story and finding an updated operating system and definition for yourself around that. That's awesome. Yeah, Jess. Mm-hmm.
I just totally resonate with Maura. I feel like it's the judgment for me. My natural inclination is to always play and want to play. And if anyone's even like willing to play a little bit, I'm like, oh, you want to play? I'll play. Do you want to play? And then if I am a leader or like get a little bit fired up in a situation and silly, I'm highly sensitive for some reason. And it's that ego, I think, that you were talking about, that like if it's not like matched a little bit or like received how I want it to be received, then I like get really sensitive and then I just stop. And that I sometimes get like overly upset about it because I feel like so rejected and also just so disappointed because I like naturally want to play, but it still takes me a lot to get there because there's fewer scenarios where I can really just like let loose, I feel like now. And then when it doesn't happen, it can be really like dejecting. And I'm judgmental like on myself and on the other people. And I'm just like upset and angry all around. And then I'm also just disappointed in myself. Like, well, why the fuck do you care? Nobody else has any bearing over how you feel. And if you want to be that way, it shouldn't matter. And like, be confident and just do it. And like, other people will follow. And then why can't I move past that? Or like, why sometimes can I and other times I can't? Because I get the positive affirmation when people follow, or like when I like lift a room up, I can physically feel it. And then there are other times where like that confidence just literally disappears. How do you navigate out of that? Or like, how do you always be that inner person that you want to be and have no fear? Like, why does it fluctuate? Why can't it just be consistent and like true? Yeah, so judgment for me.
Thank you. Yeah, who can relate with that? Like, yeah, thank you so much, Jazz. Yeah, in a super short soundbite, we're dealing with biology versus consciousness. Not versus, but we are a biological conscious creature. Our biology, tribal creature, rejection equals death in our history. Consciousness says, I am greater than my biological programming. I shall be my pure conscious self and not have any, you know, rules about what that can be. And so, but we're still biological creatures, right? We still have these like fear of being excluded, of being, that's what judgment is. It's this biological piece that helped us survive for a really long time because we were able to be in a group and not die. So it's normal is what I'm trying to say. You're human. Okay, so for the sake of time, I'm going to keep cruising here because I do want to get to the activities. But yeah, you ladies hit on a lot of these, like conditioning, shoulds, right, wrong mentality, internal, external judgment. And like, of course, the core of what's being affected here is the ego, as Maura pointed out for sure. So yeah. So this is a article that talks about the importance of play and also the consequences of when we don't play as adults and how that shows up. And I won't go into that right now, but it's fascinating stuff. So let's play. We've got 22 minutes left and I've got some activities for us. So actually I have three activities here. Which one do I want to start with? Okay. I'm gonna let you ladies just choose at random. I think is how I want to do this. Okay. We have three options. Raise your hand for number one. Okay, one for one. Raise your hand for number. Sight unseen. I'm not letting you look at him. It's just gonna pull it out of a hat. So we've got one for one. How about number two? Okay, we got one for two. Was that two? Two for two?
Yeah.
Okay, two for two. And how about number three? Oh, three for three. We're going for three. All right. Woo-hoo. Maybe we can get to more than one. All right. This is one that I made up today. So if it's not fun, I won't be offended. I will check my ego. Okay, so, oh yeah, this one's to like get super silly and actually like drop into play and like get rid of the rules. Okay, so the idea here is that I would love for someone to share a challenge or a goal that you're actually working on in your life right now. And then the rest of us are going to make suggestions or play with ideas that are super playful that could help you to do this thing or to help you make some progress on this thing. But the suggestions and the ideas are going to come from a very playful place, like the 7-year-old version of ourselves. So who would like some playful feedback around their goals? Amy, awesome. Okay, cool. I'm going to take the my screen share off so we can all see each other. But okay, Amy, what is your goal or challenge that we can support you with?
Okay, so I bought one of those giant like stick-on whiteboards for my bedroom, and I was using it for a while, and I had sticky notes on the top and like a calendar type thing in the bottom, and I just like wiped it all clear because I used it for like a week, was like looking at it, and then I just wasn't using it. So now I don't know what to do with it, and I still want to use it for goal oriented habit type stuff, but I don't know what to do with it so that I'll be consistent with looking at it and actually like, you know, like I still want to do the sticky notes on it because I can like take them off and put new ones on, but I just need ideas around what to use it for basically, I guess, or how to set it up, how to make it fun and interactive for just me. So let's go.
Perfect. Yes. Playful coaching. Go, Emily.
So one idea, can you tell me the rules of...
The rules of play?
Yeah.
Yeah, so suggestions for Amy that are super playful, not serious at all, but could have maybe something to do with what she's trying to do, but like super silly.
Oh, okay. So I think you should get a picture of your dog as a sticker, as like animation, like sticker, yeah. And then like every day you want to do something, you get to like put a sticker up with like a picture of your dog.
My dog, that's a cute idea.
And then like once I'm you get to down. Like a certain number of stickers, you like go on like an ice cream date with your dog.
That's awesome.
I'm writing Franklin stickers because that's his name.
So, and that way it might be a little more interactive, I guess.
And cute to look at.
And cute to look at, yeah.
Thanks, Emily. Yeah. Okay, who else? Playful suggestions for Amy. Maura, yeah.
I'm going to go back from 7-year-old to a 3-year-old, and I think you should throw stuff at it. I think you should have your meal, whatever you're eating, and take a little piece and throw it at it and see what sticks.
I thought you were going to say, like, one of those wacky wall walkers.
Well, but that would be good, too. Just throw toys at it. But I think, like, some sort of physical throwing something at it. Just throw shit at it. Just whatever.
Totally going to do that. And then you're going to come over and clean up my room.
If you're throwing food at it, Franklin
will eat it whatever I throw it.
That doesn't stick to the whiteboard.
Love it.
Franklin is winning.
Awesome.
Franklin's going to love this board.
Yes.
Okay, I was just thinking, I was trying to think about what I would do if I was 7 years old and I had this board in my room. Glitter, dude. Glitter everywhere. Like different colors of glitter for different themes, like working out, working on my business, like maybe some star stickers, like anything shiny.
Do they have glitter like white pens? They have that, I wonder.
White pens? Maybe. Like,
you draw absolutely glitter pens.
They have glow-in-the-dark pens.
Yeah.
What do they have?
Glow-in-the-dark pens.
Oh, that's fun, too.
I was thinking the same thing as Fawn. Like, maybe not glitter because, well, that's just my like, non-ability to play. That just gives me anxiety even thinking about cleaning up. Because my daughter literally has destroyed my house in glitter before. So, like, I love, you want to go glitter, you go glitter. I was thinking, like, lights or, like a boa feather around it, like some sort of like frame or like pictures of you at play. Like
that's
the
fun. So like frame it in something fun.
Yeah.
Because it really is just blah. It's really blah.
Think of it or like pictures of the times you were like most inspired or had the most fun or like pictures that you look back at and you remember, can remember like cracking up in the moment or like playing the most to like bring it out in your vision.
I'm bored. I love it.
Yeah. We have that photo of you giving Lauren a piggyback ride in the waves from the retreat.
Yes.
I think that should go front and center.
I could just border the whole thing with the Mexico trip.
Yeah, there was a lot of play. Awesome. Any other suggestions for Amy? Playful ways to decorate the board, be consistent with the board. What about like, oh, you're not a candy person. I'm going to say, like, have a little candy dispenser for when you do the thing.
Oh, I like my candy.
Candy like my dispenser.
Yeah.
Cute. Awesome. Okay, good job, guys. Let's do a group activity here. So let me choose which one. Yep. Okay. So everybody, what was your favorite way to play when you were a kiddo? That's part A of the question. What was one of your favorite ways to play when you're a kiddo where you were just like in it, like having a blast? And actually I'll give you like 20 seconds to think about that. Favorite way to play. Like where you were having so much fun that you didn't even want to go to bed or come home for dinner. Okay. So we'll do a round robin share of this. I think we have enough time to do this. We'll do a round robin share of our favorite way to play as a kiddo. And then there's a part B to this and we'll go around the circle again to close this out. And this is a tool. I don't hesitate to call it a tool because it's a play tool, oxymoron, but it's a tool you can use outside of this call. And that will be your like real world fun work or play work. So, okay. Part A, round one. What was your favorite way to play as a kiddo? I'll start with Sylvia.
Okay, I'm trying to, let's see, remember. I played a lot of like outdoor games with some of my friends. Like we were into softball, so we were all like on a little league softball team together. And one of my friends, like, so we had creative names for each other from this one book we loved. And so she was Addie and I was Meryl, and we would make up like adventures that we went on, and you know, we would kind of tell the story as it went, and we would have each other doing funny, silly things, and we would laugh like constantly. It was super funny.
Oh, I love that. Yes, that just brought back so many memories for me as you were just sharing that. Oh, Meryl was your name?
Yep.
Meryl? Okay. Yep. Beautiful.
It was from the book called The Two Princesses of Bamar.
How perfect is that? The Two Princesses of Bamar?
Yeah, of Bamar, yep.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. Fun.
Love it. Thank you, Sylvia. How about you, Jasmine?
I have two that came to mind. One, when I lived with my grandparents when I was younger, me and the girl across the street were best friends, and behind my grandparents' house was like a little river, and we would go out on bulk day and take things from people's piles and like mats and picture frames, and we would like decorate the woods. Like there's a little like fort area, and we literally like cut the branches and made like in the bushes like a room, and it was like our house, and like our password was Mississippi spelled backwards, and like we just like played in our fort all the time, and it was like our secret hideout. We like, you know, it was just so fun. And then growing up, my mom lived in a development of townhouses, but like it was like a circular road, and there were townhouses around it, and then also in the middle, but with in the very center of the middle houses, there was just kind of some lawn. And we used to get off the bus every day and play. So it would be like football or manhunt when it got like at night, or like in the summertime, we used to like fence hop and like jump into everyone's pool before they like caught us, and then like get out and go to the next house and see like how many houses you could get in a row of like pool hopping in like the development. It's so fun. There was like, you know, 10 or 15 kids. So fun.
Love it. Thanks for sharing that. Aww. The something day, something pile that you would get picture frames and.
Oh yeah. Like junk, like bulk pickup, like junk day.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Once a month, you know, everyone can put out whatever they want.
I see. And you guys would like take them and put them in your fort.
Oh yeah. We literally had a toilet. We didn't actually go in it, but like we pretended. It was like a real house. It was legit. We got a door, somebody's door. We like put up like, it's crazy.
Thing. So, it's like the fort lottery. Thanks for sharing. How about you, Maura? What was your favorite way to play?
Oh, man. It's all sort of things come back, right? So we lived on a cul-de-sac. I grew up on a cul-de-sac. It was like 9 houses. I had 6 brothers and sisters. So there were always kids around. We were the kids on the street. There were no other kids on the street. There was one other only child. Poor girl. So we always played kickball because that circle, the grass in the middle of the cul-de-sac was the perfect sort of stopper. And that was always really fun. We would ride our bikes like to the top of the street and around the circle as fast as we could. But the thing Jasmine just said about the woods was we had, you know, the woods, the mountain, we called it, which is so ridiculous. The mountain. I'm going up the mountain. Mom, can I go up the mountain? It was, you know, it was like 6 trees deep and, you know, maybe like a hill, but it was the mountain. So we used to go up to the mountain and find stuff in the, you know, like, but not junk pile stuff, but like, you know, pine cones and crap like that. And we would hide in there because you were obscured. So like, you know, hide and seek and stuff like that. So I think that's probably, and then of course making up stories and playing actress and stuff like that. But I think the real like child's play is the kickball and the riding bikes.
So sweet. Thanks for sharing that. The mountain. I love it. Yeah, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, not so much. Love that. Thanks, Mara. How about you, Deborah? What was your favorite way to play?
So, probably all of that. So I actually grew up in a really big family, and so we almost were our own team in a way. But for us, it was dodgeball, right? And so there was an empty, like there was our house, an empty field where it should have been a house, and then another house. So in that field, we would play all kinds of games, but mostly dodgeball and lots of neighborhood kids. And then, but with my, I have a favorite brother. And so for me, with him, we would always go riding on our bicycle, but I would be on the handlebars. And so my favorite brother would take me riding on the bike all through the neighborhood on the handlebars. And then with my sister, my only sister, we would play jacks together. And so depending on the person, we had our favorite little games together. But lots of games. Lots of play.
That's really sweet. Wow. How fun to have a big family. I'm sure sometimes fun, sometimes not so fun. But it sounds like... It sounds like there were definitely some fun aspects to it. That's so sweet. Aw, thank you for sharing that. And dodgeball, oh my God. Dodgeball scares me. Oh, thank you. Let's see. Emily, how about you?
So I was thinking about this because I've been reflecting on the fact that I'm like a huge people pleaser. And like I... so often and like melding to what other people are like the type of play that's going on. Like I just am flowy. I feel like kind of like that. And so figuring out what actually feels like play for me has been an interesting exploration, and actually going back to the roots of my kid, my childhood, my parents, my mom had to put a lock on my closet when I was a kid because I would change my clothes like all the time. I would just put on different outfits, different outfits, different outfits. And she had to put a lock on, like, my closet. And even after that, I would climb up and unlock the lock and change outfits. So I think, for me, fashion has always been, like, a source of play for me because I like dressing up and I like the, like, I just appreciate it. I think it's fun. It's, like, a sense of, like, curiosity and it's, like, changing your appearance and like, you know, playing different roles, if you will, in times and, or like developing your alter ego kind of too. So in that way, I feel like it's, always been a source of play for me. But along with that, I would also say games and dancing for sure. Like really music has been huge, presence in my life forever. And so like dancing has always been something that's come naturally to me, just like being in music so constantly, and games with my family. I think just like the competitiveness of having four kids, you know, like you need something to like level the playing field a little bit. And like games was that for us, like growing up where we all like got to be like a little bit of our competitive selves and like, you know, like experience. And that like grew up into my adulthood has too. So, yeah, that's my game preferences, I guess. I don't know how to describe that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I love the closet with the lock. That's like out of a, I love that piece. And what you just described is literally costume coaching. So maybe you and I can team up. You can help me with the workshop. That's great. Yay. How about you, Amy? I think you have last to share here.
Okay, so, I mean, my whole childhood was phenomenal as far as play, because I lived in Philly. I lived in a neighborhood with just row homes upon row homes upon row homes. And, you know, I lived on a block that had a big driveway in the center. So there were literally like 20 kids every day, all different ages, you know, from, I was one of the younger ones. So from like, you know, however old I was able to actually go out and play all day, you know, like 6 or 7 up. And, you know, there were kids like 13, 14 years old. And we just, I mean, it was just all day play, wiffle ball, wire ball, Ghost in the Graveyard. You know, when we were younger, it was Red Light, Green Light, Red Rover. I mean, it was just, and it was from, you know, lunchtime until 7 at night. And I look at my kids, I'm like, damn, man, you guys are missing out. Like, you have no idea living in suburbia. You know, they just, it's just not the same. It's just, it was awesome. It was a great childhood when it came to, you know, playing. Spent a lot of time outside with my friends.
What a blast to have that many kids in the neighborhood and just like, awesome. All day play. Oh, love it.
And I'm really the only one that moved out. All my family still lives in Philly, so it's just me that kind of moved out to the burbs. So they get to go back and see how it is. But aww, yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome.
Super fun.
Gosh, that feeling. Oh, that feeling of summer times, especially like being, having the whole day to just like, if we're lucky, to go out and just like play.
Oh. It was awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, ladies. We're just about at time, so I'm kind of cruising through this faster than I would like to, of course. So now that we've done a share of our favorite way to play when we were kiddos, this is a great exercise. We're going to do a quick round robin, and then your action item is to post in the Facebook group as you let this develop a little bit more. How can you take that play, that favorite way of playing when you were a kiddo, an aspect of it in any way, shape, or form, or the whole thing in any way, shape, or form, and adapt that to your life presently? So you can adapt it in any way. It can be, you know, oh, I have this big project, it's kind of stressful. Ooh, how could I, you know, how could I put my love of play in the way that I really loved it when I was a kiddo into that project? Or it could be just like your overall attitude. Like, how can I adopt that attitude that I had and like bring that into my life more? So kind of like reaching out and grasping the hand of your inner child in a way, or your younger self, and bringing her into the present moment, or bringing her into your adult life more. As much as our inner child needs us to reparent, I think we need our inner child to, we need to let her have a voice more often as well. So I'll do a quick round robin and then we'll close out the circle here. So I'll do the same order as before. Sylvia, what is a way that you can infuse your playful self?
Yeah, well, I really loved your idea of kind of, putting, kind of infusing play into the practical aspects of the day to kind of help my productivity and think about. So, sorry, was your question just how to, like, specifically a way, or just in general how I'm going to?
Either one, whatever comes up for you right now.
Okay. Just that generally. Like, I love that idea of adding play into practicality too. Maybe that's the serious part of me, but no, that sounds super fun.
Love it. Maybe Meryl can make an appearance every day, right?
Yeah.
Meryl, or make, turn things into like adventures. You use the word adventure a couple of times in your share. Like, how can I turn this into my studying for my NBA, right? Like, I've
right, yeah.
That. How can I turn this into a big adventure?
That's right. Yeah. I love it.
Cool. Yay. Thank you. Let's go to Jasmine.
I think, like Sylvia, all my ideas center around, like, how can I make, like, my to-do list more fun? and so that's probably something that I need to work on in general. So I think if I'm trying to think outside of the box, I don't do very many things like purely for play. And some of those definitions, like that's where I was most hung up on, because it was like, well, it can't have an outcome and it has to be solely for play. And, I probably need to appreciate that for like what it is. And so I have goals of things I want to do, like Deborah like went to the beach, right? Like, you know, tennis is really fun, but it also checks off my exercise box for the week and for the day. And it's like, you know, so what could I do that would just be for play? That's going to be very difficult for me. I would love to hear other people's ideas, or maybe like we could brainstorm like only play ideas together. For those of us that are like more practical in nature, I think the first thing I might do is plan like a trip. For some reason, to me, vacation is always play, because vacation is disassociated with like life at home, and not like my life isn't like nice, but vacation is like free space. So maybe like a one night camping trip or something that's purely play. That's hard.
Yay, this is such a good assignment for you.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm going to plant a little seed here. I'm wondering what it could be like if because I know that one of your projects is like, there's a lot of home projects, house projects. I'm wondering what it could be like if you, like, if that was the fort and you took that same like fun, creative energy that you had as a kiddo, as you would like decorate your fort and like bring things in and like organize it. If your home was your fort and you kind of approached it like that, as opposed to like every room has to have a to-do list or something. I don't know. Something
every room has a to-do list. So that's a good idea.
Awesome. Thank you. Maura.
I was just thinking it's a much more literal, a literal sort of thing to what we've just been talking about. When I worked at Walt Disney Imagineering in California, the shop guys always had an hour break, but it takes, you know, 25 minutes to drive anywhere in Los Angeles or Burbank. So they'd all bring their lunch. They would eat in 15 minutes and they would always play basketball. Like every one of our facilities would have at least one basketball hoop. And so I was just thinking about where I work now. Our factory ends at 4:30. Everybody usually peels the hell out of there. But if one day a week, like if I literally just put up flyers and said, on Friday, we're playing kickball. Like if I just went to Dick's and bought a kickball and plastic bases, which actually I have in the basement because we have Michael's bases, you know, and I just saw who would play, you know, like for a half hour on Friday afternoon. I wonder who would. Like we were a factory of about 70 people. So I wonder if anybody would drop in, because we have a big parking lot. I mean, we do have big 18-wheeler trucks coming through, but whatever, I can figure it out. So anyway, so it's a total literal
yeah.
Application of it, of this, you know, memory of a kick. Mm-hmm. It's just such a non-sport kickball. I mean, you know, oh, your husband played kickball after work and they loved it. So maybe our lunch is only a half hour in the factory, but maybe I could get everybody to just play a little bit on a Friday afternoon. I don't know, while it's still good weather. So
that's awesome.
I think I could run to Dick's and buy a kickball, right? And just put up flyers. And then if I'm the only one kicking the ball around, you know, whatever. I'll get somebody to play with me. It'll be fun.
I'll play with you. Yeah, that's such a great idea. I love that.
That would be good. And it's, you know, listen, another big thing, like you said, or like Amy said about the work thing, it's not my responsibility. I'm not management, but I like where I work and I like the people I work with. And when you like the people you work with better, everyone's happier. And so like, that's probably why it was a fun day today, right? To have a fun, playful thing happen at work. These people you spend 40 plus hours with a week anyway, so you may as well like them. And healthy competition brings out all sorts of... So I'm going to try it. Maybe I'll just do that. Maybe I'll just go to Dick's this weekend and buy a kickball and put up a flyer and see who plays.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it's kickball, so is it COVID safe? Since it's...
I would think so. That's a good question. Oh, good point. No, because you can get somebody out in kickball by just throwing the ball at them, right? Wasn't that the rule? Who remembers?
I don't remember.
That's right, Jazz? Yeah. You just throw, you don't have to touch a person to get them out. You get them out by throwing that red ball at them. I think it's COVID safe. I'm going to go with awesome. Yes, COVID safe.
All right. I love it. Yay. Bringing some fun into the workplace. That's a really, I love that. Who is next here? Deborah. Any ideas for infusing play into your life?
I don't have one idea. So I'm indoors all the time. I live by myself. I'm not working. School is starting, but it's on Zoom. And, like, it's going to, and I don't know if I agree that it doesn't, that it can't have an outcome. Like, I think it could be fun and also accomplish something. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think I'm going to stick to just looking for, like, work is starting on my kitchen next week on Monday. Like, I'm going to look for ways to build in fun as I'm doing what I already have to do. So I know it's there. I just have to find it. So sorry, guys. That's all I got.
That's beautiful. No, like, as a, it's like play as a way of being as opposed to play as an activity.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah, love that. And something that came to mind when you were sharing your childhood play was like playing jacks and playing like your brother and your sister. I'm wondering if maybe like a Zoom play time with friends or family, like once a week or, you know, once a month or something like that, putting together a game night, right? And bringing that back.
Actually, that's a great idea because I miss them. I'm in California. All my family's in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. So we could have a family once a month.
Yeah. There you go.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Love it.
We don't have to play in the beginning, just talk. But yes,
yeah. Right. Awesome. Yeah, what a great way to connect. I'm like, I'm going to do that with my mom and my sister. That's a great idea. Emily, how about you?
Okay, I think I have a few ideas. So one of them was organizing this yoga in the park thing. I feel like it's just like playtime for me, you know, when I get to like teach and lead, like it's just something like that's how I play, you know, like that's a little bit of like what feels good to me. But I also kind of get where Jazz is coming from of like it not, you're not wanting to have any type of outcome. And for me, I do get attached to the outcome of like helping or like assisting or, you know, and so like it is a little bit difficult for me to think of like what is that, you know, like how to set myself in like actual play. But I did have a recent experience that I really felt like play. I like went into this vintage shop that had like sustainable, like all their line, other lines were sustainable, and they just played dress up with me, and it was so much fun. And I want to just do something like that, like a clothing swap or like you know, some sort of like dress up type of I don't know, like I think that could be like really fun for me where like, you know, there's interaction with people and like a dress up element to it. I know Fawn, we're like just like connecting somehow on this. So like, I really do want to talk to you on this. Yeah. But yeah, so that's something that sounds like really fun for me.
Awesome. Yeah. How fun that you played dress up in a vintage shop. That sounds amazing. Very cool. And you live in the Bay Area, and I know it's COVID right now, but like on any given day, at any given hour, you could probably go within 15 minutes of where you are, and there's some group of people dancing around in tutus to some interesting music. So, cool. And Amy, how about you?
Yeah, so I'd say about 3 months ago, play was kind of easy for me to bring into my life currently, because again, I have a son he just turned 13 in June, and when that happened, it kind of stopped. But before that, we constantly like went out in the yard and played wiffle ball or played, you know, had a football catch or baseball catch, or, you know, he would ask me, hey mom, do you want to have a catch? But since he turned 13, that kind of has stopped. Not completely, but definitely for the most part. It's not like it was. So I'll like peek into his room and say, hey, you want to have a catch? Even, you know, if he's not really doing anything. Yeah, maybe. And then like, you know, the maybe it will turn into, I know. It's all fine. I have my Franklin. So I literally have been like, I schedule 15 minutes a day at least to throw the ball for him, because he is the most phenomenal fetcher you would ever imagine. And he can jump like almost as high as me. I should literally enter him into like a one of those contests where the dog like zips through the cones and all that. He's crazy. And Jasmine, I even play soccer with him. He has awesome defense. He is like phenomenal. So yes, I am that dog mom for sure. And that's how I get my playtime in. But I was thinking, I was going to go back to what Jasmine said a while ago, when you were saying that you like kind of go to the parties ready to play, or go to the, like you're ready to play and you don't always have that coming back to you, right? So I kind of feel the same way. So I am like the beach, for example. I love the beach. I can't just sit on the beach for hours and hours and hours like some people can. I need to play. So I bring my football, my wiffle ball, my like water sport things. But it gets, not everyone wants to do that. So sometimes I get let down, like how Jasmine was saying. Like I have these expectations like, yeah, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to like play. And then no one wants to play with me. But not all the time. It's not a sad story. I'm just saying, like, I know how you feel. Like, I go into it, like, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be like, you know, I have that competitiveness about me where I always want to, like, play and do something.
Come on, guys.
Not to beat people, but just to play. And it doesn't always work out. But as far as now, it's my dog pretty much that gives me my play time for work.
I think it'd be cool if you threw the Frisbee, took a photo of Franklin jumping to get the Frisbee, turned that photo into the stickers, put the stickers on the wall hanging, and then threw food at the thing so Franklin can get his reward.
So funny. I know.
Oh, awesome.
All about Franklin tonight.
I feel you. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, maybe this, I like the idea, I can't remember who brought it up, but the idea of having a like kind of a sister circle outside of this call to encourage each other and, you know, share ideas around how to infuse more play, or maybe even like an LFB game night or play night once a month or something like that. Like, you know, I'm sure there would be a lot of sisters who would be into that. So if somebody's interested in that, if you guys are interested in that, let me know and I'll put the word out and see what we can organize. That would be awesome. Cool. Okay. So let's go ahead and wrap out. Thanks for hanging over time, ladies. If it were up to me, like this particular theme, we would just be like doing shares and activities for a couple more hours, but alas, here we are. So maybe game night is a way to fulfill that. I'm going to seriously consider doing that. Cool. I realized I didn't share mine. So when I was a kid, one of my favorite ways to play, I grew up in the woods, didn't have TV. I had lots of books. I had lots of trolls, those little troll toys, a crazy imagination, and a horse. So my favorite way to play was to like get on my horse and just ride out into the mountains somewhere. And I'd bring my little trolls and I'd make little forts and I like would just create this fantasy land in my mind. And I realized as we've been talking about all of this, that I don't really, even when I'm like playing, there's still like an objective or like something, I don't know, like a goal to it. But when I was a kiddo, it was just like, I just want to be in that fantasy land. Like, I just want to be in the moment of play. So that's going to be I'm going to figure out a way to really infuse that more into my day-to-day as an adult. So that's my share. Cool. All right. I'm going to post a feedback or a takeaway prompt in the LFP group so we can all share our takeaways and share how we're playing as adults and infusing more play into our lives. And on that note, thank you so much, everybody. And thanks again, Deborah, for suggesting play as the topic. This is much needed. Yeah. Yay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hi, everyone.
Happy playing.
Happy playing.
Ciao.